welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with the Sleepy Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, let's look back first at last week's win against Hickman. You know, the things I took away from it was you got to see Mac win, you got to win, and your twos and threes got a chance to play against Varsity competition. So I thought it was a good night for you overall.
Yeah, I think you know that's a good way to look at it. You know, since we don't have junior varsity games these first couple weeks, them getting substantial snaps. Well, I think it was important for their development. I thought that little stretch that we have right at the end of the second quarter before halftime was really important. It was a 20-6 ball game with them getting the ball coming out second half, and they were having some success moving it. And, you know, for us to be able to just get a nice drive, get it in the end zone, get a quick pick six, score, I thought, you know, we took control of the game at that time.
You know, that's probably another takeaway, that your number one offense has looked pretty sharp, and it's basically five quarters they played.
Yeah, they have, you know, and that – And it always takes 11 guys, but I'm really happy with what Sam's doing right now at quarterback. We've got over he has over 500 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, you know, for his first two career starts, you know, that against two good teams, you know, and, you know, that says a lot about, you know, his preparation and what we're trying to, you know, kind of give him, you know, and he's a very versatile quarterback, can do a lot, but I think he's making good reads. His completion rate is 78%, which is excellent for a high school quarterback. So we're happy with, you know, with everything he's done for us.
This week, the first road game of the year, heading up to Columbia to play Battle. A new head coach who gets hired basically in early August, or just in general. You've been a head coach. How difficult would it be to come in and try to get what you want to get done in basically a month?
I mean, I think coming into a program where maybe the kids don't know you and you have no history, I think it'd be next to impossible. I think what's helping him is he has a little history there. You know, I think what you would have to do, you know, what he's trying to do is instill his offense. You would have to take the coaches that you have, know that this is what we can do defensively. Special teams keep everything pretty much the same. But to come in August and make wholesale changes across the board, offensively, defensively, special teams, would be extremely difficult. And, you know, I think he's trying to play to the strength of his kids, keep the scheme early on simple and effective, and I think he's doing a great job with that.
What have you seen from him, you know, the first couple weeks plus the Jamboree?
Improvement. Yeah. Improvement. When you watch them and you watch their defense at the Jamboree, they struggle, you know, quite a bit. And they struggled at times in week one, but I really saw team in week two, which is, you know, the mark of good coach and what they're trying to accomplish with their kids. I think it only stands to reason that they're going to get better each week as they get more comfortable with their new coaching staff.
All right, that was Elias head coach Chris Henches.
And me. And it is early.
It is early, but you know what?
Or
it's
late,
never too early. All right, so Tom, I think when I looked at last week's score and saw 42-12, you know, win against Hickman, I thought, seems about right, but, you know, I also could have seen it be a lot bigger. You know, at one point you did have the running clock in that game. So, you know, I guess just general takeaways from what ended up being a pretty easy victory last week.
Yeah, like I talked to with Chris about, you know, at the early part of our interview there was, you know, my takeaway was it was a win, it's a conference win, and the second and third teams got to play.
Right.
You know, and that's – and he said, you're right.
Yay. Of course you're
right. You've all heard that. You've heard that
You're
part.
So smart.
You know, and to me that was it. You know, after the game, it wasn't a whole lot of celebration, you know, and one of the first things Chris said was, you know, it was a workmanlike performance.
Sure.
Which is what it was, you know. Yeah. You know, he said, I know we have high expectations around here and that maybe, you know, we should celebrate our wins a little more, but this one was just workmanlike, got it done, and you know, 2-0.
Right.
And so the takeaways were really the first stringers are really playing well.
Okay.
You know, basically in 5-plus quarters, they scored all their points, which is 91 or however many it is. I can't remember. Yeah, 91. You know, and they've only given up 25.
Okay.
And so some of those points have come against the second team Yeah, in fact, two of those touchdowns come against the second team defense. So the starters are playing really, really well.
Okay.
That's what I would take away from the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
Now, the fact that, you know, are they going to need to at some point play a four-quarter game, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to be this week, but it's coming.
Right.
So, you know, they've got to just keep going, turn the ball over once in 2 weeks, playing pretty well.
Right. So the next team up then is a battle team that, let's just say, is struggling right now. I mean, they're 0-2, 0-1, lost last week a kind of a thriller, 37-34. You know, if you want more details on that one, listen to my discussion I had earlier with Kyle McAravey on the Capital City podcast, because that one was a wild one. But, you know, so what does that mean for Halas to have that battle team coming in at 0-2? Is it kind of a wounded animal sort of thing? How much did that concern them?
You know, in but I don't. Chris and I didn't get into a whole lot of it, I think, in the portion of the interview we played. But the lead to my story today for the preview in the paper is, you know, Battle has a new head coach, Matthew mm-hmm. Herman. Basically got hired at the early August when the previous coach, Jonah Davinsky, took off to take a job in Florida.
Okay.
Now, as I said, Chris, you know, just, you know, you've been head coach for a while.
Right.
What would you, coming in the 1st of August, think? He said, it'd be impossible.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
Right.
It'd be to put your stamp on a program that you would have been on basically a week or two before the start of practice wouldn't work. Now, Coach Herman does have experience with Battle, which Chris pointed out, said, that's going to help. You know, he had been an assistant for, I don't know, close to 10 years with him before he left a couple of years ago to take a job in Hawaii and came back. I guess it was 8 years. And he came back, they hired him as the head coach now. So he knows some of the coaches in the program, has been exposed to some of the kids. You know, they know him, he knows them. So, but still,
right?
You know, Chris and I were talking, it's still tough because you cannot put your personal, you have to rely on your assistant coaches to say, this is what we've done.
Yeah.
This is what we're good at.
Right.
This is what we're not good at. We're going to have to do this for now. And we may have to wait to put more stuff in later.
I was going to say, if you were even trying to make a conservative guesstimate, how many weeks would you think that it would have to be before you actually felt like we might even have our feet underneath us and have a fighting chance? I mean, I think it's got to be, it might not be till district play.
Right, because, you know, he's probably still getting, I mean, he obviously, that's going to be an exaggeration, but he's probably still getting to know some of their names.
Sure.
You know, and right now, you know, just relying on the assistants probably to do a lot, and it's like, he'd probably like to do this or tweak that.
Sure.
You know, there's no time to do that. You know, once the season starts, man, you're just in that routine of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday game.
Right. You know, and I think one of the interesting things about high school athletics has always been you have some coaches who are real good about, okay, I'm going to switch my coaching style based on the personnel. Or, you know what, I'll never change my coaching style. The personnel will adapt to me. Yeah. Well, you don't even get a chance to do either one of those things because you're literally just going, I don't know, let's just throw some stuff against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, it's like, this is what we did last year. That's what we're going to have to do this year because that's what the kids are familiar with.
Right.
And, you know, one thing I asked Chris was, what are the odds, you know, he thinks that there's a chance that, hey, you know, you've seen this from the Jamboree week one, week two. What are the chances that they come and throw a curveball in week three to try to he goes, I don't. He said he couldn't see that happening because there's just not enough time to do that.
Sure.
So, you know, I think what you see is what you're going to get with Battle for now. And what you get normally, you know, it's a very athletic team. It's a hard-hitting game always. And it seems like it's always a good game between them and Wise.
And I do think that we can't overstate the fact that they were in a position to win that game last week against Capital City. And I do think it's a Capital City program where maybe 2 years ago, that's a win where you can dismiss or a loss you can dismiss. I think Capital City shown both last year and so far this year that they're going to be a team you're going to have to work hard to get a win against.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were in a position where they could have won that game or a play here or a play there or some of the wackiness that ensued doesn't ensue, then all of a sudden maybe they're coming in at 1-1 instead of 0-2, and it might be just kind of a whole different kind of feel to the Spartans.
Yeah, do you take away from that, you know, hey, we were close to get a win, let's go get one this week, or it's like, that one got away from us, great. Now we're, you know, when are we going to get our next one?
Right.
I would think that Halas is expecting to see Battle's best effort tonight because, you know, that's generally what they see from Battle every time they play them.
Yeah. So it almost feels like, yeah, you can kind of feel, you kind of know what maybe they're going to do because of, like you say, there hasn't been time to throw in any wrinkles. So it almost feels like, though, in some ways that it's just going to be like, I almost feel like maybe in terms of we don't expect them to do too many things crazy. We don't have to prep for them. This may be a we as Helias concentrate on Helias and what we need to do. So how much of that do you think it might be just tonight with them just going, let's just kind of get better at, and not to say that they haven't been good, but let's get better at all the things that we've been doing and just focus on ourselves this week.
Well, I mean, the battle receiver, Daquan Wright, really got their attention against Capital City. And I think he had 9 catches for more than 100 yards. Chris said, you know, we don't have anybody that fast.
Right.
You know, we have to be ready. And I think one thing you might look is, you know, what kind of start does Helias get off to? Because Battle is going to have more teams, you know, speed shock.
Okay.
Is Battle going to come down and score in the first drive because some of the Helias, you know, Helias is going to go, wait a minute, these guys are faster than we thought.
Right.
You know, we haven't played against this kind of speed yet. You know, I think that's what happened last year. They came down and scored on their first drive against them. But then Helias ended up, you know, coming back and playing well and getting a big win. But, you know, what happens early, I think, is going to really set the tone for the entire game.
Yeah. It is the first road game of the year for Crusaders. Yep. I not that that's going to be any great shakes where it's going to be like, oh, this is going to upset things. But it is just, you know, this is going to be kind of the first time that this team has gone on the road this year. So, you know, there's going to be just a little bit of wrinkle there.
Yeah, and traditionally they're fine on the road. You know, sure. It's 35 minutes.
Right.
It's not that big a deal. I think they'll be okay with it. It seems like a kind of a mature group, and I don't think that's going to faze them.
Right. I guess, you know, it is just 2 games into the season, but it's always worth talking about injuries at this point in the season because, you know, some of them linger as we go along. So how are the Crusaders in terms of overall team health at this point?
Well, just a reminder, 2-way starter Trey Rice is out, injured in the game against Hannibal. You know, everything's going well, looking like a decent chance for return, at least maybe at the start of districts. They lost Owen Guyton to an injury on the last play of the game against Hickman. He's a reserve player, but he's their long snapper.
Okay.
So the special teams have kind of gotten a little bit of look this week. Right now, what the plan is, Michael Pringer, the starting center, is going to take over those duties. And, you know, Michael's had a really good job, you know, getting the ball to the quarterback all year. So they don't think they're going to miss a beat there.
Okay.
But other than that, he said they're pretty good, healthy.
Yeah, that's the one
pretty
area,
good,
though.
Healthy. Nice.
That's one of those areas where, you know, or that's one of those positions where I just think that it's something everybody kind of always forgets about. But the second you get a player injured at that position, then all of a sudden that can just become so magnified because that's one area you don't want to have problems at.
Yeah, in high school, Helias was really one of the first programs around here that really emphasized the fact, this, you know, 10-15, how important special teams were.
Sure.
That they are a full third of the game. And I think that paid off early, you know, 10 years ago, that they were better than most people at that.
Right.
And so I think maybe sometimes I take it for granted, or the Helias fans take for granted, that, yeah, they're going to kick, you know, the snaps are going to be great. That, you know,
right,
the ball's going to go through the uprights. And it doesn't happen all the time that way in high school. And so, you know, but again, they're confident with Michael Pringer, and that things will be fine. You know, they struggled a little bit in special teams last week, but they'll work on that and they'll get that taken care of.
And not that I don't think that the Helias coaching staff, as good as they are, would ever kind of forget to think about that sort of thing. But how often do you think that coaches go, you know what we need to be really doing is get those second and third string long snappers some work? Because that's not a thing where you probably think of, once you think you've got one, you're like, well, we solved that spot. It's probably not something we're going to have to worry about. How often do coaches probably ever have that thought enter their head where they're like, well, we better get reps for guys 2 and 3 on the depth chart at that position?
Here comes a humble brag, Tony.
Okay.
You know, at practice in the preseason and during the weeks, I try to go out there on Wednesdays. And Wednesdays are kind of special teams days, too.
Okay.
And I watch, and I've seen 2 or 3 guys deep snap.
Okay.
At practice.
Okay.
And so they've got guys that are, you know, they might have been messing around, but they were right, that they were doing it.
Right.
So I think that, you know, that they're ready. And he's basically Michael's had a whole week to get ready for this. And I think it'll be fine.
All right. I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you, you know, who comes out on top and what's the score of this one?
I think Helias would be disappointed to give up 14 points. I think that their defense, they want their defense to kind of shine and continue to roll because they have 2 really big games coming up, you know, at Cardinal Ritter and at Rockbridge. So I think they're going to try to keep building on this in this third game. I'm going to say Helias 42-12.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.